This week's show with EGA's Wendy Lynn is sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. In addition to the Nashville market releases, Sassy Jack's is your source for the full line of reproduction samplers from Barbara Hudson of Queenstown Sampler Designs. Now, through April 30, you can get 10% off all Queenstown charts and kits with the code FiberTalk10. That's FiberTalk and the number 10. If you want a kit, order your charts and note in the order form comment section that you want kits, and Kim will contact you to arrange ground cloth and threads. Also, visit the workshop section to sign up for the Summer House Stitchworks event, August 4 to 5, and the September Soiree online retreat, September 15 to 18. Make Sassy Jack Stitchery your local needlework store by visiting the website at sassyjackstitchery.com. And now on to our conversation with Wendy Lynn. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for ground cloth stabbers.
Mm-hmm. We're stabbing today, huh?
I think we're going to stab today, yeah. Our guest this week, actually, see, you're supposed to say on Sunday shows for needlework artists, and then you can say the artist this week.
Right.
But we're going to put, we're going to drag Wendy right into the ground cloth stabbing club here. So, so our guest, she's the Director of Membership and Marketing at EGA, Wendy Lynn. Wendy, welcome.
Thank you, Gary. Nice to see meet with both you and Beth.
Yes. And yes. You have to admit, you stabbed some ground cloth in frustration many times. So
I'm a stabber. I really am a stabber.
Yeah.
It might scare some people to know that, but sewing motion is not my intuitive thing to do.
Now, there's a patch. There's a patch we need. A patch and a t-shirt. I'm a stabber. Yeah.
Yes. That would be great. I think it would be a bestseller. That would excellent. I'm a stabber. Be careful. I'm a stabber.
Right. Yeah. 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 Fair warning. Yep. Exactly. Be careful. I'm a stabber. Okay. I got to get an artist to work on that.
And I promise I won't steal the idea from you, Gary.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
But you get the first free patch, Wendy. So,
oh, thank you.
You know, on the house, on the house. All right. So 28 days you've been traveling, 20 days of it, EGA events.
Well, EGA events and traveling to and from those events. Man. So I was at a retreat in the Appleton, Wisconsin area. That was a 3-day retreat, but I had to travel to it because I live on Washington Island, which is in the Door County area. It's off the northern tip of the Door Peninsula, So I live in Lake Michigan, surrounded by the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And so I traveled to Appleton. We had a retreat down there. I got to meet people from both the Fox Valley chapter and Green Bay chapters at that retreat. Traveled down to Chicago, where I took some personal time, a few personal days. Then traveled down to Louisville, Kentucky, to our headquarters. And while in Louisville, I spent some time actually working in the headquarters office, talking to the employees there. We've got a great team, Cynthia Welch, Rand Duran, and Tanya Parks, who are full-time employees and a temporary person who I'll talk about later, Lily Higgs. And while in the headquarters office, I was looking through some of the things that EGA houses there, like the study boxes, like the library, and also hooking into different meetings. Later in that week, we had our semi-annual meetings, which involved the full board of EGA. There's 20 people on that board. And we met from Wednesday until Saturday of that week. Then I traveled to Southern Illinois, where I gave a program to one of our newer chapters. It's been in existence for less than 5 years, Southern Illinois Stitchers. Then back up to Chicago and to Seattle to visit my son. I took a week off. I took 5 days off to see my son. Isn't that a good thing?
That's really selfish. You know, that is really selfish.
I know. And actually, you know, even while I'm traveling for EGA, I'm Zooming all over the country with EGA, as I do when I'm at home. And I took 5 days and did not do one Zoom call. Not one. Ooh. I'm so proud of myself. So, oh, wow. And then finally traveled back, back to the Midwest. So,
man.
And that's not the end of my traveling. I've got plenty more going on. At the end of this month, I'm going to be attending the Great Lakes Region Retreat, which will be in Kent, Ohio. And then in June, I'm going down to, the South Central Seminar, and of course, I've forgotten the branded name of the seminar at the moment, but it'll be in Sugar Land, Texas. And then what I try to do when I'm traveling, I literally, if I'm driving and I plan on driving to Texas, I try to spot any chapters that might be having meetings and dropping in on them. Mm-hmm. So, and I generally clear it with them first because I don't want to be too much of a surprise. But last night I was at the Waterfall Glen chapter. I just need chapter meetings as much as I can get.
No, that, I mean, that's great. That I mean, I obviously you could say it's your job, but I truly doubt you have to do that much. Within the framework of your job, but it really must just be a terrific way to stay connected and really get a sense of what all the local chapters are doing and a bigger picture, a better picture of EGA as a whole.
Well, and that was my whole objective. I know the Great Lakes region really well because I was region director before I stepped into the national role. So I know a lot of the chapters. I know a lot of the people. I know a lot of the activities that are going on within Great Lakes. And I'm trying to become more familiar with other regions by either working with people who volunteer for our different committees that we have. And we always can use volunteers. But also by somehow worming my way into a chapter. So I found that there was a chapter out in Santa Clara, California, that has a Wednesday open stitch on Zoom. And so I just dropped in with them, you know. Oh. The Indianapolis chapter has a Monday stitch that goes from 9 in the morning until 5 at night Eastern. I think it's 5 at night Eastern. I mean, every Monday except the Monday when they have chapter meetings. And I give Zoom programs. So I've talked at the Indianapolis chapter meeting via Zoom. I gave a talk on storing threads, and I'll be working with the Madison chapter later on to talk about navigating the EGA website. So I love to talk. People can't shut me up sometimes, but, you know.
So how many people show up for that the Indianapolis Zoom meeting?
The Indianapolis Zoom meeting was a chapter meeting, and I want to say that they probably had about 20 people there. I actually sat through the whole meeting in addition to giving the program. And it was a program that I had done once before for a special interest group that I have. Gary, you've attended one of our sessions. On the second Sunday of the month, I do a surface embroidery interest group. And our first program was, how do you store your threads? How do you store wool? You know, where do you put all this stuff? And because I was afraid, it's more of a crowdsourcing kind of thing where everybody's contributing to the topic that we're discussing. But on this particular day, since it was our first programmed meeting, I decided to put together a little PowerPoint about how the path that I went down to store my threads. And I've added other things that people have told me about. So, you know, it was more or less me panicking, thinking no one would talk. I should know stitchers better than this, right?
Everybody
wanted to put their two cents in. Well, I do it this way. So, and so this really raises an interesting thing about EGA. You know, despite the fact that we're a bunch of elitist stitchers, we're a bunch of stitchers who love to sit around and gab. And community has historically been our great strength. We've been around since the 1950s. We've had chapters across the U.S. And as our population has started to age, there are fewer and fewer chapters and more people who are interested in doing things virtually. So Zoom allows us to create a virtual community. And I would say that there are people in my Zoom group, my surface embroidery interest group, who are as dedicated to that group as they are to their physical brick and mortar chapter. So how do we leverage what we have going on in the virtual world? You know, I think that that's one of the challenges that our organization and all organizations are going to be facing. So,
yeah, well, that's a game changing thing. You know, of course, the pandemic brings that on us, and we were forced to learn how to operate with Zoom, and how it got to be Zoom and not something else is beyond me, but it did.
Yeah.
but really game changing, and for an organization like EGA, just opened so many doors.
You know, I have to agree with you. There were a couple of people, I think, on the EGA board who were trying to drag us into Zoom prior to the pandemic. Marnie Grayley was our vice president of the national organization. Marge Kelly was region director in the metropolitan region. And the two of them really were trying to say, okay, folks, we could do something exciting with this. But when March of 2020 rolled around, I think our eyes were opened. And many of us jumped on the Zoom wagon. We felt that it was the most reliable service of which we knew at the time. They were constantly improving the product. And so I think the interesting thing was, as we started to use it, we didn't realize how powerful it was until we used it. You know, and I'll give you one example. As a region director, I bought a license for Zoom, and I offered to any of our chapters to start meetings for them. You know, I would host the meeting. I might not stay for the whole meeting. I might turn the hosting over to someone else. But there was a chapter meeting that I started for the Madison chapter. And of course, this was a new thing, and everybody's popping in and they don't know what to do, you know. We're kind of feeling our way through this and questions are coming up. All of a sudden, an elderly member hops on the Zoom and everyone on the call was like, oh my gosh, I don't remember her name, But they were like, oh my gosh, we haven't seen you in years. You haven't, you know, been to chapter meetings. It's so good to see your face. And I said, you must use Zoom because that's the only way you'll see your grandchildren. She said, oh no, I asked my grandchildren to help me with this. And they said, Grandma, your computer will never be able to do Zoom. So I figured it out by myself. I thought, you know, there were so many things. Oh my gosh, you know, so many things that happened during the pandemic that were really blessings. And that was one of them. So another thing that we did in the Great Lakes was we started having stitch-ins for people on days like Thanksgiving and December 25th. And we kept on going, Earth Day, Mother's Day, any excuse that we had to have a Zoom stitch-in, we would. But the Thanksgiving one in 2020 was especially touching to me because I sent an invitation out to all of the people in Great Lakes. And I said, anybody want to Zoom on Thanksgiving Day? I'll be here. And about 25 people showed up. I was shocked. And at the end of the call, you know, we just chatted and talked about what we were stitching in the same way that you would if it was an in-person stitching. And at the end, I asked people what they were grateful for. And one of our members, I'll never forget this, started to cry. She said, I'm so grateful that you had this stitching today. I didn't know what I was going to do on this day. Yeah. So we have so many opportunities to connect and so many great members. Oh my gosh. I've met so many people all over the country. I've been having the time of my life. I'm a people person. So this has been fun.
Well, I was going to say when you told that story, that Zoom really helps on two ends of the spectrum. One is the elderly who can't get out, particularly in the winter, can't drive it in the dark, need to stay home. But then it also, I think, helps reach young people who really just, again, can't get out. They can't take an evening, but they can sit in front of a machine for an hour. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we have the opposite, too. We have people who say, I'm at a computer all day long. I don't want to get on it again in the evening or the weekends. So we recently ran a membership survey that we're still trying to pour through all the comments. And it was amazing. And there are a fair number of people who just will not have any part of the virtual or online piece. But many, many people say we have to keep on growing this. So we're trying to use Zoom with some of our more traditional offerings that we have. We have group correspondence courses, as you know, and sometimes we offer them as individual correspondence courses. Historically, the way we've handled these in EGA is people get their kit, people get their booklet that's very detailed explaining how you attack a certain project. And but you're working on it either in a group with group support in person, or if it's an individual, if it's a lightning round. We call them lightning rounds when they age out, not individual correspondences. If it's a lightning round, we would work on it by ourselves. So this year, what we've started doing is, okay, I signed up for an ICC. We had the headquarters just send an email to anybody who signed up for that course and said, would you like to Zoom the 6 lessons over the next few months? And we have about 8 people who decided that they wanted to Zoom. And we meet once a month and go through that lightning round, through that group correspondence course. So, again, one of our traditional offerings, but being handled in a virtual way.
Yeah.
That's an excellent, because we always run into people who need a little bit more help when they're working on maybe a group correspondence course. It's a new technique. They've never done it before. And sometimes it's hard to work with, maybe it's a difficult stitch and they need a little bit more help. But if there was a Zoom meeting that they could attend,
right,
to balance the idea, and a lot of people won't sign up for those because they're like, well, I don't know how to do that technique. Well, that's the point.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's why we're taking this class, so we can learn something new.
And correct.
And I found even with we're doing Shimmering Dreams in our group for a group correspondence course, and I thought, okay, yeah, this is I've done Counted Canvas. I'm just going to join because, you know, I want to participate with my group, and I'm learning things as I'm doing this piece that I didn't know, and stretching me, and that's a good thing.
So
they're fabulous offerings to take those group correspondence courses. And I've actually taken, I think I've taken one, what are they called? The individual correspondence course.
There's online, there's individual correspondence course. So the individual correspondence course is done with a teacher, not on Zoom typically, where you're doing a more in-depth study than you normally would. There's also online courses, and I even get tripped up with the terminology where you get like a lesson every week for 4 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it happens to be. And I took Marilyn Hazelwood's Glasshouse Fuchsias or Fuchsia Glasshouse. I forget, if I'm switching around the term. But that was great because she sent a flash drive with the kit. So even though we didn't meet, we could chat online about with different questions that we had. And then her flash drive for that class was really wonderful because we were doing canvas work first and then ribbon embroidery on the canvas. And that was a new technique for me. So her flash drive helped.
And that, I can't remember, I think it's Katie Duguid, I had several members of my guild take that online class and do the videos. She had videos and they said those were fantastic.
Yeah. Kat Duguid, she's young. She's so exciting. Was it the Haystacks of Giverny that they did?
They did the gold work one. It looks like a dandelion. I can't remember.
Yeah, I signed up for it. And then as it turned out, I forgot that I'm an officer and I don't have time to stitch.
Right, right. I will admit that I did the same thing.
Yeah.
and so I ran across it the other day. I'm like, oh, that's where that is. Okay.
Well. Yeah. Yeah. I know. But Kat is, there are some really vibrant young designers, teachers, and Kat is one of them. And she's so nice. She calls me ma'am all the time, which in a way, I think she calls everybody ma'am. You know, it's not because of my advanced age, but she's so sweet. She's so sweet.
Is virtual technology also giving more access to instructors that you wouldn't get before?
Yeah. That's a good question. So I'm not in charge of education, even though I try to keep on top of everything that we're doing. I think that it allows us to do things so much more differently than we used to. And there are teachers that just jump in with both feet on the technology. In 2020, Fox Valley had planned a regional seminar for Great Lakes. And of course, it was canceled, and we rescheduled it for spring of 2021. And in December of 2020, we realized the pandemic was far from over. So we canceled that one and decided that we were going to go forward with an all virtual seminar. And I'll tell you what, it was so much work because we had to teach the teachers how to use Zoom. We had to teach. We have classroom angels when we're in person, which are people who really hand out kits, help the teacher do stuff if she needs something distributed. And in the days when we could plug in lights, they would help lay down the extension cords, tape them down and things. Well, now the angels have a different job, and that is making sure they're like the help desk for each of the teachers. So we trained angels for the virtual seminar. We trained participants because, again, in 2021, not everyone had decided that Zoom was the way to go. We had more people attend that seminar than we would have had we been in person. And you know, there were things that were clunky, but that team decided to do not only the classes on Zoom, but normally we have evening events at the regional seminar. So we have a merchandise night. We have a meet the teachers night. We have an opening banquet with comments. We have a closing banquet with comments. And there's favors that we collected. Well, the favors were already put together because they had planned on doing this seminar in 2020. So Fox Valley Chapter sent everyone their favors, which was, it was like a gift in the middle of the pandemic, you know, getting this package of stuff. But even the evening events were so well attended. We did a survey of the people who attended. Most people said they would do it again in a heartbeat. There were people who said this allowed me to be able to stay at home. You know, I didn't have to worry about finding someone to take care of my kids or my cat or dog. It allowed me to remain engaged with my friends. We had one member who decided to do this from England. So she was staying up half the night to be able to participate with us. She normally would fly in for our regional seminar. Another person from another region thanked us. And she said, your surf and turf closing banquet was my favorite. Her husband had gone out to get hamburgers and shrimp for them, you know.
There we go.
So, you know, I mean, it just gave us a different opportunity to try to experience EGA at a time when none of us were experiencing much of anything. So,
virtual lectures, one of the big successes that's come out of this?
Man, who would have thought? So, I want to give kudos to Mary Van Tine and her team, Jana Bass, Donna Pence. These are names in EGA that everybody should know. And they're all volunteers. They're all stitchers. I mean, don't think that these are people who are up on a pedestal somewhere. They are mere mortals who just love to put this stuff together. But we have a virtual lecture series. There's a lecture every month through EGA National. And because of the overwhelming demand, we would have, you know, like 400 or 500 people sign up when it was free, and we could only offer it to members. So we started charging $5 per lecture. Another thing that we're doing is if you don't, and we've upgraded our license on Zoom from 100 to 500. So this year, people are getting in. Of course, they do have to pay. We had to cover our additional costs. But another thing that we've started to do is talk to the lecturers about allowing us to record the presentation. And so if you can't sit in on that particular lecture, you can pay $5 and see the recording, which I've paid my $5 for the recordings I've missed. I haven't watched them. But from what I hear, people say it's as good as sitting through lectures. So, huge.
And I have to say that I went and listened to Kathy Andrews' lecture, and I couldn't sit for an hour and a half. But I could stop and start it. And I think I can go back and listen to it again, correct?
Yes. I think there's a time limit on how long the recordings will be out there. But, you know, if you haven't seen the other ones, the one that I think people talked about was there was a lecture on Tibetan religious articles. I think that the people who
Leslie.
Went said, okay, it was like the it was like surprisingly engaging, you know. And of course, the one that we have going on right now, or that you can sign up for right now, is also that's the one with the. This is terrible. I'm drawing a blank.
Sally Maver.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't have enough K anymore to remember all of this stuff by heart. So anyhow. Yeah. So yeah, they're great. And so for right now, we're still requiring people to join and become a member for those lectures. It's well worth the money. I know what some of our competition charges for lectures. And I think we're still reasonably priced, especially if you're going to be listening or joining more than one lecture. But there are things that we offer to non-members. And Gary, I'll send you the links to those. They're actually all listed under resources, the resources page for EGA. You don't have to be a member to find them. But they're really kind of interesting. We have the EGA Stitch Along Facebook page, which has a different project, sometimes multiple projects every month. And we've started trying to use more simple to follow projects. Some of our projects that we've had in the past have been pretty high level on the Stitch Along page. We want every stitcher to be able to take a look at something and go, I can stitch that. And we're starting to list events on the Stitch Along page. So you don't have to be a member of EGA. You can just be on Facebook and be a follower of our Stitch Along page. The EGA blog is great. We have postings for it every day. And again, I'll send you the link to sign up for the blog. It's like our current news. And what we've started this year is doing interviews with people who are either teaching classes or giving a lecture. So we have interviews with Kat Duguid and Kathy Andrews that we've put up. And those interviews in and of themselves are just excellent articles to read about the process that designers follow or the research that they've done. Let me think what else. We have free projects, some free projects for non-members that you can find on the EGA page. And some people find that that's a good introduction. And what we do is a few weeks after you request one of those free patterns is we'll check in with you to make sure that you're able to complete the project. So that was the free project, Stitch Along page, the blog. And finally, we have a Needlework Network newsletter. The name is makes me tongue tied, but that's free to non-members and it's or members. It's in addition to our regular EGA newsletter that's for members only, but it's another resource that we want people to get an idea of what EGA is all about and the kind of things that we're interested in. So I'll send those links to you if you wanted to make those available.
Yeah. Well, those free projects, that's one kind of a hidden gem, whether you're a member or not, because if you want to try a new technique,
right,
you just want to experiment a little bit, they're really an excellent way to, you know, kind of put your toe in the water.
Exactly. You know, and another thing that we offer, but again, it's only to members, are petite projects that are a little bit more complicated sometimes, but we offer dozens of free projects in our petite projects for members only. So,
and those are fantastic. We've used those several times for chapter projects. You know, you're not sure what to do as a program.
Right.
And looking through those, there's, you know, someone wants to learn a technique. We've pulled from there to have a program to teach that technique, and they're very well done, I think.
Correct. Yeah. Last night there was one that never was on my radar that was introduced at the chapter meeting I went to last night, and I went, oh, do we have an extra kit? You know, can I buy one? And fortunately, there was. Now I've got to go and download the pattern. But again, it's just another, and it'll be another project that'll sit in my stash. Oh, man. What have I done? Anyway.
Well, Beth, so. Your chapter, I think, is a prime example of how you can use, as a chapter, you can use EGA's resources to put together a year-long set of programs without the logistical expense of having teachers come in all the time and set up all kinds of things. You guys really use that to great advantage.
Right. So, and I think it's because we have people in our guild who are willing to teach, you know, whatever project we offer, but I especially like the petite projects. Again, those group correspondence courses. I think you could even use those if you wanted to as a chapter program, you know, have the members yes. who signed up say, okay, this is going to be our program for the next 6 months and we're going to learn these techniques.
Right. We've done that in some of the chapters that I've been in. And not everybody wants to invest in the full program, but, you know, the group correspondence too works at the regional level. So a lot of the regions, and just to explain to you the structure of EGA, we have the chapters, which are the in the neighborhood kind of stitching groups, and the chapters roll up into a region. So we had 13 regions. We now realign to 12 regions across the United States. And you can see where those regions are on the EGA website by becoming a member and finding a chapter. Then we have members at large, people who don't belong to a particular chapter. And depending on what region you live in, you may be invited to participate in regional events. So the regions tend to offer group correspondence courses as well. And again, finding a way for somebody in the region to then say, hey, I'll run the Zoom to keep us on track for this project is a very popular thing that we're seeing right now. And some teachers find out about it and go, hey, let me know when the meetings are being held. I'll be glad to drop in for one or all of them, you know, so... another Zoom opportunity for people.
And we have the annual seminar, the EGA annual seminar, but many of the regions have their own annual events. Do they all do that or?
Yes. So each region, just like each chapter, is very independent with regard to their offerings. So I think that most regions offer an annual event that will either be a retreat or a seminar. Great Lakes used to have a regional seminar every year. The pandemic kind of threw us into a tailspin, and we haven't had a seminar since 2021, the virtual one that we had, but we're going to have another one in 2024. And this year, 2023, we're having a retreat instead. Now, other regions would alternate, 1 year a retreat, 1 year a seminar. Other heads have retreats every year, but seminars once in a blue moon, and sometimes they use the retreat then as their prep for the seminar. So every region is very independent in that regard. And you can find out what the events are, again, if you go out to the map that says find a chapter, and you find out what the region is, you go to the region website and you can see what the region is offering in the way of education, meetings, and so forth.
Yeah. And I bring that up because for people who can't, for whatever reason, make the annual seminar, these regional things, they're going to be drivable for most people.
Correct. Yeah. People who don't like to travel by air, which lately has been a royal pain, just hop in the car, you know, or we've even had some bus trips, you know, like people would start in Michigan and this bus would then go down to Ohio and pick up people in Ohio and Indiana and then travel to Chicago or vice versa, you know, Green Bay to Milwaukee to Schaumburg, Illinois, and so forth. So, and again, this stresses the importance of community in EGA. You know, we're going through a re-engineering project where we're looking at everything. And if people don't know about something, is it a marketing issue? Haven't we talked? Should we communicate more? Or is it that people really aren't interested in it? You know, but one of the things that my team did, which is marketing and membership, was we did a survey of all the different organizations that we would consider our competition. And I'm not going to mention any names, but we took a look at what they offered versus EGA. And we're offering things at three levels. We're offering them at the national level, which benefits every member, at the regional level, which generally benefits the people in the chapters and regions within their chapters and states within that region, and then finally the chapters. Virtual lectures are being offered at every level. Chapters are telling me, oh, we're going to have Catherine Jordan speak, or we're going to have, I can picture her, and I know I can't, go on. So, you know, there are different people speaking about textile arts at the chapter level, at the region level. And typically, those are free for members, okay? So if you're a member of the Mid-Atlantic region, if you belong to a chapter in the Mid-Atlantic region and they're having a free lecture, you're in, which is kind of fun. So don't think that those things are only being offered at the national level.
Yes, our region did offer several. And then we've even had some of the members in the region giving talks, which have been interesting too, because then you get to meet some of the people who are more local to your area that maybe you just didn't realize their interest in a certain area of needlework. And that those have been fascinating and fun to meet more people from the region, because I don't go to region meetings. So I know our region director has been having president's meetings, which has been very helpful
for
the people in the guild, because you learn what's going on in other chapters in the region. You get ideas, just different ways to do things. And it's helpful. It is. It's just been very helpful.
Absolutely. You know, and this is one of the difficulties with an organization that is as historied, I'll say historied instead of old as EGA, is that we became accustomed to doing things in a certain way. And now it's like turning the ship around and trying to do it differently. But it's doable. And we can still do some of the stuff that we used to do and be successful. But that sharing of information is so critical, because why should we make, in the same way that it's more difficult to do certain stitching unless you know the tricks of the trade, it's also difficult to run a chapter. And it's hard to get people to volunteer. You know, I just think that volunteering in this organization has given me so much in the way of meeting people and seeing how vital stitching is. Gary, I know one of the questions that you asked is embroidery still popular after the pandemic? Our membership has actually, it leveled off in 2022. We didn't see a drop in membership in 2022. We saw a slight bump up, and I'm predicting that we're going to see another bump up. We measure our membership right now as of May 31st of every year. I think that we're going to see a pretty nice bump as of May 31st of 2023. And I have to give the lectures a lot of credit for that. I think people join because the lectures are so great, and hopefully they find out about how great the rest of the organization is once they join.
Right. So. And the thing I hear the most from people, like if we stitch in public or, someone sees my work, they're like, that's too hard. I can't do that. And that just frustrates me to death, because I think back when I first joined EGA, I was a member of the St. Paul Needleworkers.
Okay.
And they talked me into doing a needlepoint class taught by Laura Wysinski, who has occasionally taught some group correspondence classes. And she was a member of that guild. And they were like, Beth, you can do this. And I'm like, but I've never done this before. They said, we're going to hold you. We'll walk you through it. I think I ended up making three of that project because I enjoyed it so much. And they taught me how to lay my threads. I mean, we were working with neon rays. Things I've never touched before.
Yeah.
And I went and looked at, my mother-in-law has one of those pieces. And I looked at it the other day and I thought, I didn't do so bad for a first time, but I'm sure they were holding my hand the whole time. But that's the in-person, or if you can find a group that's meeting virtually, that's the great thing about EGA is, let's say you want to learn a stitch, whether it be, I hear people complain about eyelets or learning how to do a satin stitch, how to get it smooth. A guild member, there's people in the guilds normally who will take the time to teach you. They'll sit next to you. They'll hold your hand. They'll say, well, this, you know, this is how you do the stitch and this makes it smoother. Or I can see your the reason you're having problem is you're doing it this way. Maybe you should try doing it this way. It's wonderful. And I highly recommend if you want to learn to do a little more, to push yourself out of a box.
Yeah. Put yourself out there and say, I need to know how to do this. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Beth, what kind of embroidery did you do before you joined EGA? What was your favorite embroidery style?
I think at the time I was mainly doing cross stitch at that point in time. And I had done curl work. I'd done some surface embroidery. I had never worked. I don't remember working on linen at that point in time.
Right.
And again, I said, I can't do linen. And so they talked me into a group correspondence course doing on linen. It's like, well, it doesn't take much to talk me into doing things like that. But
I was going to mention that's a pretty low bar. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but they were fantastic. They just walked me through it. And I know my son learned to do beading through EGA. There was a member who did a lot of beading and my son was very interested in it. And they said, so have him come over. We're having a meeting. We'll order a kit for him, have him come. And he won an award for his beading. I have the same kit downstairs, not done. This was beautiful.
Yeah.
This was, you know, the tension. I was like, you're talking, I think he was 9 at the time.
Yeah.
Maybe 10. The patience of these ladies to take time for a young man to teach them.
Right. Well, so here's another thing, teaching youth how to stitch. So this is one of the challenges that we have in today's environment, because schools don't want to let people in unless they've been trained in protecting children from, you have to be fingerprinted and you have a background check and, there are so many hurdles for us to cross. So what we're trying to do is devise a teach the teacher kind of program for use in schools. And one of our members from Burlington, Vermont, Diana Snyder and her group in Burlington, Green Mountain, had developed a program that they call TOYS, Teaching Our Youth to Stitch, or Stitching. And so one of the members and I decided it was worth a field trip to Burlington, Vermont in the fall. Oh my gosh. to find out more about this program. And what we're trying to do is figure out how do we make it scalable for and accessible to all of our chapters, so that if our members can get into an after-school program, a homeschooling initiative, they have some easy projects to help lower grade children. Another one of our members who is in the greater Pacific region is looking at how do we make programming scalable for older, like high school level or middle school children. All of this takes work and effort. So even connecting all of these people from one coast to the other, to be able to get something started is a lot of work, and we're up to the work. It's just that we need more people to pitch in and help.
Right.
So
always in need of volunteers. Always,
always, always. And I could use a volunteer to go through my email. I mentioned that we had this survey, right? So we send our 8,600 members the survey and ask them to complete it. And a couple of hundred of them decided that in addition to the survey, they thought they needed to send me a personal email.
Oh, boy.
And I'm still in the process, even though it was last month that we sent the survey out. I'm still trying to make sure I respond to everybody to let them know that I read their particular email. That survey, we actually had over 4,000 of our members wow. respond, at least in part. And I want to say it was 3,600 completed the entire survey. It wow. didn't take long, but some people got hung up on a couple of questions and abandoned. So it really, and we did this all with volunteers. I think that we paid about $200 for survey software and analytics software. And we have a data scientist who's a member who volunteered to process this, but now it's manually going through all the comments, you know, and trying to figure out where we sit on things like the articles that we offer in Needle Arts and what's the value of our library. People didn't know that we had a library and they started checking books out then, you know, which is a good thing.
So. Right. And the study boxes, I think I've only seen them once, and that was at the St. Paul Guild.
Okay.
And I keep on thinking, I've got to go back and look at those again and see, because we can still check those out, correct?
Correct. If you're, let me tell you. Yep. Oh. So Val Reese, the director of education, is leading an initiative, and Kathy Weigel, who's our director of bylaws, and I were looking at some of the study boxes. Some of them need refreshing, but there's also a more efficient way to handle it. Like, there's a lot of paper and books in those study boxes. We're not so sure that members are going to read all the paper or the books. They want the project. They want a presentation. So how do we refresh the boxes so that it is more user-friendly when it gets to the chapter for presentation purposes? Some beautifully stitched samples, but again, they're dated. So in some cases, not all. How do we refresh the boxes so that they really are inspiring to the chapters when they arrive. Mm-hmm. So you still can check them out. And we want it to cost less for shipping than if we take the books out and people only ask for the books if they want, you know, we'll let them know what books are available in the library for that particular topic. And they can decide to check those out in the library instead. So.
Oh, that's a good plan. That's a good mm-hmm. plan mm-hmm. because that would be cost prohibitive to be shipping books with the
yes.
rest of the project.
That's what gets expensive. Yeah. Yeah. So I've got one of the cruel study boxes, the one on Jacobean embroidery at my house right now. And I'll probably be returning it to Louisville after I go to the South Central region seminar. I'll drive it back up to the headquarters and pop into the people there. You know, one thing that I do want to mention too, Gary, I mentioned to you that one of our temporary employees at headquarters our only temporary employee at headquarters. I got to meet her when I visited headquarters. Her name is Lily Higgs. And I asked her if she embroidered, and she said, well, I'm into cosplay. And I'm thinking, what is cosplay? You know, she says, well, you know, it's where people go to these conventions and they dress up in costumes of certain characters. And I'm like, oh, this is so far out of my area of expertise. And I said, well, you know, somebody told me that we should be going to Comic-Con conventions. And she said, yes, yes. There are people at Comic-Con conventions that create all of these elaborate costumes, and EGA really needs to get into these things because people are trying to embroider on their costumes, and they don't know how to embroider well. It's hard for them to learn from YouTube. Sometimes you have bad YouTube instructors for embroidery. EGA should really be trying to recruit members from this group, you know. And she showed me a piece, and I shared it with you in a separate email, Gary,
yeah.
of one of the characters. It was the first design that she did on her own and embroidered it, of a character from her fandom, another expression that I had never heard before, you know. And she sent me links. It's like a whole different word that my generation is unfamiliar with, I would say, for the most part. But this is where young people are becoming more and more engaged in embroidery. So they don't want to stitch our designs, but they may want to learn how to do the stitches properly for their particular purposes. So how do we share that with them? Another challenge, another thing for us to look into as we move forward. So,
yeah, that would be great, because I know that there are people, you know, they want to dress up in period costumes, but how do you make those costumes? They're doing the anime. I have a niece who dresses up as a Disney princess, and so she has costumes.
and she's
an adult. She's got two young kids, and they still go and dress up in these things.
Absolutely, Beth, you're right on with that. You know, it's a whole different world. I stay at different hotels in big cities, and every once in a while, you'll run across a Comic-Con crowd, and it's a little unnerving because you're not quite sure, you know, what's going on here. Mm-hmm, then you find out there's a convention, but young adults, I would say, maybe there's some people my age doing it, but I don't think so. You know, who knows? People do everything. But some of the costuming that Lily showed me is unimaginably elaborate. You know, people who dress up in Marie Antoinette costumes that embroider the entire skirt of their gown that they're wearing, you know, just really incredible stuff. So there's plenty of wonderful embroidery outside of EGA, but we're here to do what we can to contribute to the continuation and education of the craft.
Well, so. And that's so illustrative of, if we want this hobby, this art form, more than a hobby, as art form, to grow, is we have to reach those young people. And yeah, we got to find, if it's Comic-Con, it's Comic-Con, whatever it is that connects them. And that's where we have to go, expecting them to come in and you know, do service embroidery of a flower pot with a bunch of lilies in it or something. That's not going to happen. We got to find the things. You know, and ultimately, they'll discover that embroidering a Marie Antoinette skirt is doing the very kind of stuff that we do, but they connect in a different way, and we have to find those ways.
Exactly. And, you know, I even asked about, okay, so Lily will do some anime characters on consignments for people who are part of this fandom or whatever. And I say, well, don't you have problems with copyright? And she said, the Japanese comic people are especially interested in pushing out the word, as long as she isn't doing like this stuff, you know, like creating a design and selling the designs and doing mass marketing and things like that. They want people to go, oh, that's an interesting character. You know, which character is that? So there's a lot of word of mouth going around there that we don't see if we're talking about, let's say, a Disney character, which I love Disney, you know, but it's just a different business model, I think, than the one that we're accustomed to. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's people who realize that if you're talking about their product, it's marketing and it's free. So go do it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
All right, we're going to run out of time. We got to talk about the Boston Stitch Party here coming up in September.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I love Boston. Yeah. So Boston Stitch Party registration is still open. I'm not sure when it's going to close. I should have looked that up. But if you go out to the EGA website and go to events and look for Boston Stitch Party, the information is on the events page, and it says Boston Stitch Party, register today. And as I click on it, I've got my computer open right now. Registration is available through May 31st, but you don't want to wait until May 31st, because as classes fill up, at this point, it's first come, first serve. and you don't want to miss out on the opportunity of taking the class that you want to take. Classes are listed, but in addition to that, we will have an international teacher tour offered. So Allison Cole is the teacher that we're featuring as an international on the international teacher tour. And what this means is not only will she be teaching at the seminar, she will be teaching before and after seminar at different chapters that have opened up, that have asked her to come. Those are scheduled. And so let's say you can't travel to Boston from September 1st through 5th. You might be available. You might be able to sign up for a class with the International Teacher Tour. There's plenty of merch that we're selling, but the classes are the thing. So if you take a look at the seminar classes, we have counted work. We have lots of counted canvas. We have regular embroidery. We have mixed media where you're doing several different types of techniques. We have beading. There are so many really beautiful classes that we're offering in Boston that I'm hoping people will take a look at it. At one of my special interest group meetings, we actually went through the entire offerings when early bird registrations were there. And people were, while we were going through it, people were registering for different classes. So I was really glad that I took the time to do that. In addition to that, we have a boutique, a shop that is there for the duration of the seminar for people to just browse and shop. We have a merchandise night that'll occur on, let me see, merchandise night is on Sunday, September 3rd, and we also have an exhibit. So if people don't want to commit to the full seminar, but they're in the Boston area, I think it would be well worth going to the boutique, merchandise night, and also seeing the exhibit. So, for that, you don't have to pay the seminar fee. So, that's just, I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, it's a big event. I mean, the exhibit alone, just to see all the work that people are doing, have done, is really eye-opening. And then always there then is the exhibit of classes for the next seminar.
Yes, which is the real tempting thing.
Right,
yes.
Yeah. So you can walk around and drool over those too. Yeah. It's
Just don't drool on them, please.
Yeah. Stand back.
No. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I have a quick question. You've mentioned it several times about a surface embroidery study group. Interest group. So is that free for all EGA members?
It's free for anybody, members, non-members. So let me tell you that we've rolled it out very carefully because I'm afraid that if I sent it out to all 8,500 members, I'd have more people than I can handle in the interest group. We run it by Zoom. I run one on the second Sunday of every month. Second Sunday of May is Mother's Day. People still wanted to have the study group. The interest group, it will just be a stitch-in. On the third Saturday of every month, one of our people who's going for the Crewel Embroidery Master Craftsman designation, Leslie Mahard Brady, runs another Crewel interest group. So the two of us are trying to divide and conquer people who can make the second Sunday. People who can make the third Saturday can choose which one they want to go to. If you're interested in either, send an email to marketing@egausa.org. And that's my email. Oh my gosh. I will diligently try to make sure that you're sent an invitation to that group. So, And very informal. I mean, we're real laid back. You'll have to say who you are. We want to meet everybody and we want everyone to feel welcome, but it's very informal and the people are great.
And I think EGA is trying to do more of those too. Trying to find, I noticed that in the, it was in the
Needle Arts. Yeah,
in the Needle Arts.
Yeah. So I know that there's one chapter who wants to start a beading interest group and a Hardanger interest group. And what they're going to do is start doing it within their chapter first and then expand it out. And again, rolling these things out can be tricky for us because we don't want people to be disappointed. And there are only so many people who can arrive in a meeting, you know.
Right.
I have a license for 100 people, you know, but 100 people may be more pages than I can deal with on Zoom. I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
Only one way to find out, right?
right.
Okay. Yep.
All right, we need to wrap up here, Wendy. I think the overall message is check out EGA, egausa.org. It doesn't matter what type of needlework you do. There's something for you at EGA, and check it out. Consider joining. Participate in the local and regional, national events. There's so much to offer for needleworkers. And I had a listener who joined here just the other day, and she wrote to me and said that she joined because we were browbeating people last Wednesday. And and she joined, and she says it's just opened so many doors right out of the gate to connect with other needleworkers. And you know, that's what it's all about, is connecting people. And it was really great to get that message, because, you know, I didn't join cause you browbeat me. I joined, and I'm glad I did, because now I found this world of needleworkers that, you know, didn't have a connection to.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for browbeating people.
We can
use all the browbeating you can do.
All right. Wendy, thanks so much. EGAUSA.org is the website to find all this stuff. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.